The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is August 21st, Wednesday, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today, I have Queen Mother Angelique McKay, who has been joining me for the last hour. She was on the On the Clock with Erin Green show. I'm hosting both shows today because Erin Green is out, and I am excited because we're talking about the orange economy. We're talking about the orange economy, and when we talk about culture and creatives, that's just me. I get excited. Queen Mother, you have ventured to Africa, Ghana to be specific, the Ahanta region to be specific.
Home,
right? And during your Junkanoo project, and you found connections that the Bahamas and Ghana has a connection. They are related. We are family. We are one people. Mm-hmm. Right? United in love and service. Right? And whilst you were there, whilst you were honored to become Queen Mother, you've made some connections with people there and you partnered with them with the orange economy. One of the people you've partnered with is the Honorable Stephen Arthur,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
From the Hunter region. And he's joined us via Zoom today, just making sure that he's connected. Honorable Stephen Arthur, are you there? Good. I just want to make sure that you're able to hear me. And as you join the conversation, I'm going to let the Queen Mother introduce you in terms of what it is that she's partnering with you. And then we'll let you go ahead and explain what the project is from your point of view.
Okay. Honorable. Good morning, Honorable.
Good morning to you and your wonderful listeners out there.
Stephen, Honorable Stephen Arthur is an Ahanta. He's one of the persons that has been instrumental in us linking with a lot of the research that Christopher Davis has done over the years to, as he began to dive deeper into the origins of Junkanoo. And Stephen is working along with us as we do these various pilgrimage to Ahanta, which is all, we've also partnered with the University of the Bahamas in taking groups to the Ahanta region of Western Ghana. And Honorable is the lead. His company, Gold Coast Ahanta Travel and Tours, is our connection on the ground in Ghana. And what he's going to speak about is one of the things that we are, he's also the Ahanta president of the Sister City Agreement between the Bahamas and Ahanta that was signed June 10th, 2023. So he's very instrumental in that aspect as well. And what he's going to talk about is one of the projects that we're working on now in that we're creating a mural project where we have different artists working together. You want to explain that relationship, Honorable?
Okay. Good morning again to you and your cherished listeners. As Queen Mother said, I'm the president for the Bahamas Ahanta Sister City Program. And as part of our Sister City relationship, we need to do student exchange programs. We need to do cultural exchange programs. We need to do trade and a whole lot of things. Now, as part of the educational exchange program, the University of Bahamas is working on several relationships, several MOUs with various universities in Ghana, including the Takwari Technical University, which is in Western Region, Ahantaland precisely. Now, come October, some students of University of Bahamas trans from Bahamas and Ghana, and some students from Takwari Technical University work on this painting of Mura in October. And this is part of our relationship to deepen our art and creative industry between these two nations. So the basis for this project is to interchange ideas, is to interchange the various technologies and the various input that comes with creative art industry, especially when Bahamas and Ghana are already, you know, diving deep into this orange economy.
I'm excited. I know you've worked along with Christopher Davis and the Queen Mother here at McKay. Ghana has been known for their orange economy in terms of creatives, right? Producing activities and crafts, right? How important that is it for the Bahamas to be connected to you, to be participating in this creative lifestyle?
It's very important and it's very profitable, if I should say, because you see, the Bahamas is a tourist hub, as you already know, with various tourists coming from various destinations to Bahamas annually. And these tourists do purchase of a lot of cultural and art stuffs. And some of these, or most of these art stuffs, are not really available in the Bahamas, can be found here in Ghana. Now, I remember when we did sign the MOU, and afterwards when we had the African Bank 30th annual meeting in Ghana, together with the Prime Minister, we paid a visit to some art centers in Accra, and we could identify various arts and various crafts which is needed highly in the Bahamas for the Bahamas market. So you could see that this exchange program between Ghana and Bahamas is going to enable even Grand Bahama, led by, to open up the Afri-Caribbean market in Grand Bahama. And most of those products will come from Ghana and West Africa because of the vast resources that we have in this craftsway. So if you ask me, I would say that the Bahamas orange economy must emphasize and tap into the various resources that Ghana has already available. In every aspect of craft, Ghana has the various resources that we think that our exchange program will increase our productivity and both economies between those two nations.
You mentioned productivity, and in the Bahamas, is we go with supply and demand. There are items that is made in the Bahamas and items that are made for the Bahamas, right? Where Bahamian creatives have to import items from around the world and logo it for the Bahamas. And with this opportunity of having this craft center in Grand Bahama, and few Bahamians are aware that when the African Exim Bank was here, we signed a grant to establish a trade center, right, where, and correct me, Honorable Arthur, the Africans can provide various goods made for, yes, specifically for the Bahamas, that creatives here and resellers here can get access to at a cheaper price and be able to expose it to Bahamians and, of course, the tourist that comes here.
Yeah, exactly like what you said. The opening of the Grand Bahama Caribbean market, or the market there in Grand Bahama, is based on the emphasis that we've placed on the creative art product in Ghana. See, like you said, Bahamas normally do the consumption of this product. We have various aspects in Ghana that we do most of this production of this. For example, if you go to the Crabcraft village, a couple of items being produced, a whole lot of items, different items, from cloth to wristband, waist beads, slippers, you just name it. These are all produced in Ghana. And for that reason, we're also trying to open the Ahanta African market, where items from Ahanta precisely produced here be for the Bahamian market, which will come at a very lower rate for export purposes. So these two nations joining together forces in terms of creative art, not just only the creative art, not just wristbands or that stuff. But if you look at the trade aspect of it, we have numerous resources in like bamboo. Bamboo is very common in Ghana, and we know the various uses of bamboo, from toothpick to toilet roll to charcoal to any lot of product in there. Now, Ghana has several resources that we think that when the Bahamas, when our fellow brothers and sisters in Bahamas tap into it, it will increase our productivity and it will boost the various economies between the two nations. This trade pact and the various resources that we both shared. That is why the government of Ghana and the government of Bahamas agreed on the visa waiver for these two nations, so that businessmen from Bahamas and Ghana who are trading between these two nations will not have difficulty traveling into these two nations. You understand? And also the opening of appointment of a high commissioner to Ghana from the Bahamas has also deepened and opened up our potential. So you could see that the orange economy is going to be the backbone of every economy eventually. And Bahamas and Ghana have already taken the lead in this.
I want to talk about jollof rice. Ghana have jollof rice?
Yeah, you can have jollof rice.
Because I need jollof rice inside the Bahamas.
They want fufu.
That's okay. I want import jollof rice into the Bahamas. And of course, I'm one of those person who wear African clothing. And the idea that you have cloth and we have access to the African market, at least to import the African cloth, I'm kind of excited about that. But definitely, if you have fufu and jollof rice, we need to have more people from Ghana come here and establish that. We need more African restaurants.
Sure. Once we working on, eventually or soon, you find African or Ghanaian kitchens or restaurants across the Caribbean.
Yeah, and, there's a demand for it.
I know most of you eat prawn,
yes,
which is also very abundant in Ghana. There are a whole lot of items that we see that Bahamas import from even outside Africa, which are really available in Ghana, like wood, cement, building materials, you just name it, you understand? And we know that a lot of people also go to Bahamas for vacations, so they have cruise boats and other stuff. And most of these cruise boats do not do cruise to Africa. So if, for example, the Bahamas take a lead that, okay, now we want to do cruise to Africa from the Caribbean and from part of America, that would be a major boost for those cruise ship owners, you understand? So the opportunities between our relationship cut across culture, education, trade, various trade. If I say trade, it's broad, but various forms of trade in between us. And for people who want to have lands, or who want to have apartment, who want to have real estate property in Africa, I will entreat you to look first to Ahanta or Ghana, where lands are available for these purposes, like real estate and other stuff. Don't forget, Ghana is also a producer of oil. So you have a 15 years old. And so those who are into petrochemicals or hydrocarbons or the oil and gas industry have advantage, you know, in tapping into Ghana's oil and gas industry as well as our mining sector too.
Wonderful. We're talking to the Honorable Stephen Arthur, who is talking about the orange economy and opportunities that Bahamas can have with trading and with the Ahanta region. I know they have educational opportunities. Both countries speak English. I'm thinking of having an exchange in terms of college and university.
We're working on that with the University of the Bahamas. I'm the project manager for that as well.
I'm excited about that, sending my child all the way there and say, hey, go to Ghana and come back with a degree.
But speaking about the opportunities in the Ahanta region, I had a meeting with the festival directors with Asabako Festival in March. And it's one of the biggest dance and music festivals that take place in Western Ghana. And we have agreed in principle to have Bahamians on their stage next year.
Nice.
So the opportunities beyond our borders for persons in the Bahamas that are participants in the orange economy is great. The world is waiting for us, you know. And Honorable would have mentioned the collaboration with the mural project. We have a visual artist from Ahanta and a visual artist from the Bahamas that are working together, collaborating on a design for a mural to be placed in Ahanta that shows the relationship between both. And students from the University of the Bahamas, as well as students from Takoradi Technical University in the Ahanta region, are going to be working together on that in October. So opportunities are there. The visibility of Bahamians in the orange economy is increasing globally.
I just could imagine Bohemian artists on a global stage. Imagine our Rick and Scrapers music.
Oh, I've been doing millions at this particular festival. A few years ago, I took KB to Henley Festival in the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I tell you, I'm KB's number one fan, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to convince the festival director, without him knowing what is Rake and Scrape, to be able to put KB on the lineup. This is a black tie festival in the United Kingdom on the Thames River. And KB was the first Bahamian to be able to perform at this particular event. And it was amazing. KB's always amazing, but it was amazing. So persons were now exposed to Rake and Scrape. He was able to do interviews from different media houses that were there. And as a result, they asked for his music. So his music began playing on radio stations that were there. So he's able to generate revenue from that. Mm-hmm. You know, so I've been doing this kind of thing for years because of my love and passion for the culture of the Bahamas and knowing that the world needs to know what it is that we do here so that they can feel for you that we feel when we hear Rake and Scrape, when we see Jhonkanoo, when we participate in Jhonkanoo. So this little secret is getting out.
Before you go, Honorable Stephen Arthur, any closing remarks?
All right, so before I share with you my closing remarks, part of we expanding our orange economy and doing these exchange programs, you should know that Jhonkanoo is highly rated here in Ahanta. Even though we celebrate it in a way called the Angkor's Festival, and every December is widely busy here in Ghana. Yes, and so I will entreat all persons who are involved in the orange economy, all business who are involved in the orange economy, to have a look or to have a trip Ghana, precisely Ahanta, to you know study and know the various products and services that we can both you know work on and improve on for our orange economy to improve. But I hope that this our true relationship, because you are like people in the Bahamas are like stolen children who have returned home. So I hope that our relationship will foster good development between us. So I am bold to say I am a Ghanaian or a hunter, then I will be bold as well to say that I am a Bahamian as well.
Thank you very much. That was the Honorable Stephen Arthur from the Hanta region in Ghana, and he's doing some work in partnership with Queen Mother Angelique McKay. They're doing a mural in Ghana right now. I'm kind of excited about the opportunities the Bahamas has and the opportunities that the Ghanaians has with the Bahamas. And I can't wait. I just can't wait. Anyway, we're going to take a short break right now. We'll continue our interview of Queen Mother and all of her contributions she's done to the orange economy, exposing the Bahamas on great stages, large stage internationally. And I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for all of the work
you've
done.
I'm a Bahamian.
He's a Bahamian. You look Bahamian.
Born, bred, cadet.
Okay. Bahamian. I see we have a number of callers. We're going to take your call on the other side. As soon as we come back from this commercial break, we'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in Nassau Garden, 2361.
Thank you.
imagine it's August and we have all kind of Junkanoo music playing.
24/7.
And only because the Queen Mother is here. How many Junkanoo groups you've been involved in over the years?
Three. Name Saxons, then One Family, and now Genesis.
Warhawks. What do you call it? Just a She-Hawk?
She-Hawk. Hawk up yourself, Hawk Genesis.
There you go. We have some callers who wants to engage you at this present time. We'll start off with that. And then I want to talk about projects that you have lined up now. And then I'll end at the part where you have a Junkanoo festival. Right? But let me go to the caller. And then we go back to things that you have planned and lined up. And then we continue. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, I can hear you in the background. You're live now. Oh, boy, we had you and you go on, caller. Quickly call back. Oh, there you go. Go ahead, caller. We don't tell me you have a bad connection. Call a girl once. Call a girl twice. And I'm sorry, caller, I see you, but it's not connecting. But I'll keep on looking out for you, and if you get the call through, I can let you speak to the producer first so we can make sure it clears first, and then we connect you too. You have a number of projects lined up, Angelique.
Well,
what all do you have lined up?
Well, right now, drum roll please, Who in the Morning, the documentary film on Junkanoo, is going to be playing in London on Saturday. British Film Festival is hosting the viewing of the movie. And that particular movie, it had the world premiere August of last year at the Bronze Lens Film Festival in Atlanta, Georgia, in the United States. And since then, we've gone to, shout out to Jonathan and PJ, the best directors going. But anyway, I am also a producer for that, eh?
So what is Who in the Morning?
It's a documentary film on Junkanoo. What it does is it follows my journey to Bay Street.
Your journey,
Angelique.
Okay.
Journey to Bay Street, as well as in Ghana. So it has footage of me in Ghana, as well as on the road to Bay Street. So you get to see a lot of behind the scenes of Junkanoo. You get to hear about a lot of the history of Junkanoo, and it speaks with members of the Genesis Warhawks about their road to Bay Street as well. And you see a lot of footage of us on Bay Street and Shirley Street as well. So it's an inside look at Junkanoo. Yeah.
Nice. Kirby, see if you've connected that one, and tell me if they connected. And anything else in for the past three,
so five? We for that particular movie, we've played in Amsterdam, New York, Washington, Trinidad, New Orleans, Grand Bahama, as well as in New Providence. So by way of this movie, a larger audience globally is getting to see what Junkanoo is and to hear about Junkanoo and get to see another aspect of the Bahamas by virtue of watching this movie. And it's a diverse audience. I presented at the Sister City Conference in San Antonio, one of the speakers at that conference. And as a result of that, a contingent will be coming to view Junkanoo during the Christmas. Yes.
Okay, let me interject and have this caller engage you as we get them through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Hey, good day. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
I'm good.
All right. Sorry, ladies and gents. I think what you're doing is amazing. But it's a question I'd like to ask. So I remember maybe like 10 years back, I started to do a little research on Junkanoo, and I started to get some oral history. And as what I started to uncover, and I just want you to attest or give me an insight, is that I recovered that where I traced Junkanoo far back, as the research took me, was to it being originated as a tribal war dance in Africa, where you would have, it was the commencement of going to war. And what I did was, as I created a hypothesis that the men, because Junkanoo at the time, back when it first originated, like women were not allowed to participate. And I spoke to some humans who were 80 and 90 years old, and they said it would be like a big clash when they rushing through the crowd. And what I projected a hypothesis that out of all the tribal dance that they could have done, the Africans could have done, the men chose this time. And I believe that it was done to demonstrate to the women that we are ready to fight at any time to bludgeon. I think that was the reason why, and again, I say I hypothesize this, but I believe like that was the reason why out of all the other dance, they chose the tribal dance of war. I'd like to hear your comments.
Well, that is very close to a lot of it. The name Junkanoo is derived from a great Ahanta warrior who was Jan Kwao. And all of this is based on a lot of the research that Christopher Davis has been doing. And his research led him to Ahanta and to the fact that the first three slave ships with captured Africans came from the Ahanta region. And it is believed that quite a number of the persons on those ships were warriors of Jan Kwao. So that war aspect that you're speaking about and that tribal dance aspect that you're speaking about could be linked to all of that. And another aspect is that we see in the Ahanta ring cowbells the exact same way that we ring cowbells on Bay Street. And I have been traveling with the Junkanoo Commandos for years to different countries around the world. And Ghana in Ahanta was the first place that I saw them ring cowbells the same way we ring them. And they ring them at special occasions to summon the spirit of the ancestors when something of significance is taking place. So it is believed that some of the warriors from Ahanta were ringing the bells the same time to try and summon the spirit of the ancestors to rescue us from enslavement. So those things relative to what you're thinking about with war dance, a lot of them were warriors of Jan Kwao. So I'm understanding how your research would say the things that you're saying.
Okay, we have another caller here that wants to engage. Kermit, confirm that. Go ahead. I can hear you.
Good morning, Mr. Newry. Sparky, the man of action. It's McKay. What's your name?
Make it quick, Sparky.
Yeah, okay. Mr. McKay, is this Freddie McKay's daughter?
Yes, sir, I am. That's my daddy. One of the best bellas the Saxons line ever see.
Don't tell me nothing but Freddy. I see him every...
Make it quick, Sparky.
Oh, boy, I just wanted to speak to the lady, but anyway. Ms. McKay, you know, one of the things I give the Junkanoo Committee from top to bottom a little wrong down for, when it comes to honoring our past, we've done very, very little to honor the women in Junkanoo.
Mm.
And when I say that, Mr. Newry, what I'm saying is, back in the day, for me, I remember at 7 years old, me going out for the first time with the Wally Boys, taking his first banner, Mr. Newry. We had the women that allowed their young girls to burst them. They were only 14 and 17, you know. But during that time, you know, the police used to lock you up and chase you down on Friday nights when it is, when you're on the corner practicing or, you know, getting the group together to practice to get ready for bay. It was taboo. But these women saw the culture of Junkanoo in the Bahamas, and they allowed their sons to take the chance to do that. In the Valley, we used to do it nearly every Friday night on the corner of Carew Street and Mount Royal Avenue. And within an hour when we start, the police mob, cars and things, there's a bus driver there with sirens blinging, having us running through people's yards, sometimes falling in wells and stuff like that, running from the police. And then they come to honoring Junkanoo. The only people I see they be honoring it is the men in Junkanoo. As if the women out there that did so much for Junkanoo. Some of the women used to help sit up in the night and help their sons paste costumes with flower pop and kerosene oil.
Okay, so let me respond to that. Women in Junkanoo, is there a place for them?
Of course, there's a place for women everywhere. Especially in Junkanoo. Come on.
Okay. So this text says, good morning, CA. This young lady is a Junkanoo historian and an iron. She deserves the highest award this country can give. And I agree. And that's why I say, let me invite her on to give her narrative, to give her flowers because of all of her contributions she has done. I mean, she has put her shoulders to the wheel. And I'm not sure if a number of Bahamians know that she exists, that she's working, that she is put her shoulders to the wheel, like I said. And I need to acknowledge that. You even created your own Junkanoo Festival. Because, you know, earlier I asked what's the difference between the Junkanoo Parade and a Junkanoo Festival, and whether the big parade on Bay is a festival or not. And you give your opinion on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to give details on what it is to make the parade a festival, but I want to hear about your Junkanoo Festival and the narrative on why you created it, what was it, and give some details on that. So let's talk about this, the full name, the correct name for
it. I will. Before I go there, I want us to just mention, because I want us to be proud as Bahamians, we have two different UNESCO designations, right? We have Nassau is a creative city, right? Globally recognized.
What does that mean?
It means that these two particular elements are outstanding as it relates to the production by Bahamians, and that's straw work and Junkanoo. So we need to be able to begin to take advantage of that, as well as the inscription for Junkanoo as the intangible cultural heritage of the Bahamas. We need to take ownership for both of these things and begin to let the world know, hey, see us here. We are very creative, and the orange economy is just as much ours as it is yours.
So UNESCO has given us two designations for, what was it again?
Creative City
creative
of
city.
Nassau, yes. Mm-hmm. And Junkanoo is the intangible cultural heritage of the Bahamas.
So we need to claim
that as
ours.
That's ours.
Yes.
That's ours.
No matter if
people have Junkanoo
is ours. And that spelling is ours.
The other spellings and the other variations belong to other persons, because just as captured Africans and captured Ahantas were brought to the Bahamas, they were brought to other places throughout the diaspora. And they play reverence. They revere John Quao as the great Ahanta warrior that he was. So their celebrations speak to him as well. But the names are different.
Yes.
And the way they celebrate is different.
Let me say that again. Junkanoo is recognized by UNESCO. And the city of Nassau.
Creative city.
Mm-hmm. Some people don't understand that. Creative city is internationally. We need to mm-hmm. jump on that and capitalize on that.
Yeah.
So go ahead with your...
So Bahamas Junkanoo Art and Music Festival was designed and created in 2019. Was the first year that we had the festival. And the festival was designed to bring... To try to put some more money into the hands and pockets of Junkanoo artists. So the main feature of that festival was Junkanoo artists and is Junkanoo artists. So what they're allowed to do is display their Junkanoo costumes that would have participated in the parades, either Boxing Day or New Year's Day, so that they can refurbish those costumes and sell those costumes. The first year we were able, artists were, over 60% of the artists that displayed costumes were able to get sales. Sales were down the following year. I don't know if it was because of the weather or for whatever reason, it wasn't as high as 60%, but costumes were sold year two as well. And we were able to have live entertainment at the festival. We had roving artists. Of course, we had food and drinks. We had the Junkanoo Commandos, internationally known pop-up shack that was on this culinary demonstration. We had mixology demonstrations throughout the time of the festival. So it was a real creative event and secure event, very interactive as well. And year two was equally as explosive, and then, you know, COVID came and everything kind of died down and a matter of regrouping. But the festival is scheduled to take place the first weekend in March in 2025.
So it will continue. Come 2025 March, you're going to have another Junkanoo.
And the reason I can say that is I've had a meeting with the Minister of Youth, Sports and Culture, as well as the chairman of the National Junkanoo Committee and the JCNP with regards to partnership with that festival. And we've also been in discussions with the various chairpersons from the Junkanoo groups to be able to partner so that they can reap some of the benefits of the festival, and we understand the importance of a festival. Festivals are able to display all aspects of the creative arts in one space at one time. And we intend to attract a large number of international visitors, and of course, as well as locals to that event, because festivals need to have a solid mix of both.
On the other show, on the On the Clock with Aaron Green show, you mentioned that we need to separate the A.
I didn't say perhaps, we need to.
You do. Mm-hmm. You say we need to separate the A group and the B group, Junkanoo, extending Junkanoo from being that one day event on December 26th or December 25th, that day.
25th to 26th, yeah.
And from the January 1st. So I want you to explain that to the listening audience who they're hearing this for the first time, try so they can understand what is it that you are proposing.
I'll just say some of the things that I would propose. One of the things that we had in when Neville Wisdom was the minister, we did the prejudging. That's something that could be a revenue generating event for Junkanoos. You pay to enter the space and you're able to view these costumes up close and personal, because from the bleachers you don't get to see the amount of work that these artists pour into these costumes. So you're able to, you know, pay a minimal entrance fee, view the costumes just like you would view in any museum or any traveling exhibition. It's the same thing. See these, the judges are able to view them up close, so you get a certain percentage of the costuming, and then you're able to judge them in the performance. For me, I think the judges are too tired at the end of the day to fairly judge the parades.
No, I like that idea. You know? Prejudging. So you come with that numbers. These are people already being judged for
and,
the costume.
And you hear the complaint where people say, oh, my costume ain't ready, so you're not going to be judged if you're not ready. But if you know the deadline, your costume needs to be ready by the 16th of December in order to be judged and displayed. And you get a percentage of what is made at the door because your costume is what draws the persons there. You're more motivated to have your costume included. I'm in that. Another revenue-generating opportunity for Junkanoo artists is the rental of costumes. We've done it as Junkanoo Commandos. We had to let people know, no, we don't just have our costumes sitting around for you to borrow. There's a fee attached to the rental of this costume, not unlike when you go to the nursery to rent a palm tree for display.
Rent it to the what?
For display, to add flair and flavor to your event. Just like how they have the floral arrangements on the table, a costume would be in the corner. Room. Yeah.
Okay, I understand that.
So there are opportunities to generate revenue throughout the year. For Junkanoo artists, people just need to get out of the habit of saying, lend me your costume. Don't have no costume laying around. I could borrow it. No, we don't.
We have some for rent.
Yeah.
But talk about the festival. What festival?
The festival has been amazing. We've had...
No. The proposed transition.
Oh, yeah. So that one element. It's another opportunity where our rake and scrape artists, our Junkanoo artists, whatever genre our Bahamian artists perform in, they're in a position to be able to perform at another date during the festival time.
You envision like a 2 or 3 day festival.
Yes.
The 25th to the 27th, 28th, yes. Right? Where you have the two Junkanoo groups change. It will be A group for one day and the B group for the next day.
And right? It will be developed over the years. It's not expected that fresh out the gate, everything would be perfected.
Perfect. Okay. You know? And you're saying that we'll have Bahamian music infused in that too?
Well, on a different day. I didn't like the idea, and I still don't like the idea of in between our performances, we have artists singing.
So you don't like that right now?
I don't like that idea.
Can you tell me why you don't?
Because I think it's Junkanoo. It's time for Junkanoo. Yeah.
But that was created because of the lull, to keep the people entertained during the lull. But you believe that with the separation of two groups, that'll stop the lull because all the groups will be lined up.
It will still be some space. And I want persons to understand, because I've experienced it in one of the off or two of the off parades, when another group is too close to you, it throws your performance totally off because you're now trying to figure, do I rush to this or do I rush to that? So your performance is all over the place and you're hoping the group behind you drops back some or your group moves up some more. There is going to be a space between because we need that to be able to perform to our music mm-hmm. as opposed to other music that would be too close behind us.
In terms of who would be crafting this festival, this December 25th to 28th festival, who would be responsible for that, do you think?
I think persons familiar with festival development and project management in the creative industry should be persons who, you know, would be on board. And they don't necessarily have to be Junkanoos. We have our executive board of Junkanoo Commandos, and it's not all people that perform and participate in Junkanoo because of the different areas of expertise that are needed to run an organization. Everybody does not have to participate in Junkanoo.
I'd like to take this time to remind or inform, to educate people that you have a master's degree in cultural project development.
Yes.
And also you have a certification in some kind of festival and events systems or some sort like that.
Yeah.
No, they're just throwing that out there, that you're professional. You ain't just talking. You actually went to school.
I've invested a lot of time, money, and energy into the creative industry, into the orange economy, into developing different aspects of the orange economy so that Bahamians in the orange economy are able to benefit at the end of the day. And the exporting of elements of the Bahamian orange economy is where our artists, entertainers, our professionals and novices in this industry are going to realize economic gain and return.
I'm a festival proponent, right? And one of the things I find frustration, and this texter reminded me about it, right? He said, please remind Angelique that various artisans also took part in your initial festival, which is straw craft people there. And I want to acknowledge because I did
the
see
support,
that.
The support I got for the first festival and the second, it made me so happy because people tend to shy away from new things. And we didn't have any of those big name government sponsors or agencies behind us. But it was something that was in my head for a number of years. And then it was just like, okay, you have to do this. We can't stench any longer. So it was a result of friends that I have that have different businesses that are able to support the vision that I had for the execution of that festival and every single artisan and vendor that supported me. Thank you again. And we come in looking for you for March.
And before I go on to my rant when I said where I started, where was your Junkanoo Festival taking place?
The festival was at the Botanical Gardens.
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to have it, but they still were not open and operational when we were supposed to have the last one. So we just had to cancel moving forward with it. Like any good project, my canceled a project, you're not a good project manager.
Look where you're going. So back to my rant, right? I, as a person who enjoy festivals, it doesn't seem that we still have space for the history of Junkanoo. I remember me going...
Space where?
Like, explain.
Mm-hmm.
Going to Junkanoo on Bay, right? And going as far... There's a corner by where the Tribune newspaper is, or wherever that corner is.
Okay.
And they had Junkanoo that passed through there. That's my point. They had Junkanoos who wore...
All the way down there?
That's how far I was.
When is what?
This was like in the 80s, 86, 87. Mm. All the way to where the Tribune, because I remember passing. And they had people who wore newspapers as part of their Junkanoo costume. Mm-hmm. I don't see that anymore. They had people who wore sponges, this sponge thing from the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that anymore. They had people who wore straw bags. It's a Junkanoo costume made of straw.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that anymore. And me who enjoy culture, who enjoys culture, enjoys history. And that aspect of the lineage or the direction or the movement of Junkanoo seems to have vanished. And I'm thinking a festival could incorporate that and not necessarily a parade because we move now. Junkanoo's mm-hmm. more modern. So there's no necessary space for that, right? So I appreciate that. But is there a need all that rant is there a need for Junkanoo to evolve to a festival?
There's a need for it to evolve for that. And as Junkanoo becomes more popular globally, more and more people are going to want to see and experience Junkanoo. Just like we see here, the groups are getting larger because more and more of us want to participate in Junkanoo. I can't imagine telling someone, oh, we have enough people in our group, you can't come. How you can tell me I can't come to Junkanoo and Junkanoo belongs to me? You know, so there is a need for us to be able to separate that. And as it relates to the costuming that you mentioned, there can be an element at a festival or the performance of persons in that cost, those type costumes. But Junkanoo has evolved to something else, you know, so that's no longer a part of what it is. But we have the paper boys on Bay Street that wear newspaper costumes. Okay. So you're able to see that there.
Good. Mm-hmm. Okay, before we go, I think we can take a commercial break right now. No, we only have 10 minutes. I don't know if I should take a commercial break. I can, no, it's finished. Push through. I see Kermit. Okay, thanks, Kermit. I appreciate it. Yeah, push through. I want to talk about past projects, past accomplishments, past accolades. You did mention that your Junkanoo Commandos is a, what do you call it? Some kind of honor you got?
Cacique Award. Winning.
I'm not even sure what a cacique is.
The Cacique Award is something that, it's an award given from the Ministry of Tourism, and we got that award.
Do you still have that?
Well, I guess. They may have taken a lull. And you know, a lot of stuff went on ice.
Mm-hmm. Due to COVID.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they'll bring it back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We won that in creative arts based on what we do globally with Junkanoo.
Mm-hmm.
What other projects that we would have done?
Or would you have accomplished in terms of travel, in terms of exposure?
Well, it's just so much. Just taking Junkanoo so many places. I've taken visual artists to different festivals around the world as well. We took Shine Bahamas, and we took Synergy Band, and we took Commandos Pop-Up Shack to
Where
the world.
Taking?
World Art Celebration Festival in Newport News, Virginia. I've taken visual artists to Henley Festival as well. We took.
And mind you, I'm not sure what a visual artist is.
Painters. Okay. Sculptors, stuff like. One year I took Elton, an artist named Elton.
Mm-hmm.
And another year I took an artist named Alan. To Henley Festival for their visual arts presentation. And the thing is, it's just little old me, Angelique, being able to convince these festival directors all the way around the world to be able to include our visual artists. And nobody knows who we are.
We are up to par.
Pound for pound, we could weigh with anyone.
We punch above our
anyone.
Weight.
It's just that we need to continue to expose ourselves to these other opportunities and to these other spaces and to these other places.
Let's talk.
To be able to do that.
Let's talk Bay Street. See, you say don't be trapsy while you come on here, but I hear the show almost over. What can we do for Bay Street in terms of improving Orange economy? What ideas you could throw out there so we, the listening audience, can lobby? Say, okay, I didn't even thought about that. But give me some ideas.
Well, you see how some of those spaces have been demolished. And
I mean the empty space with grown grass.
That's to be converted to
green spaces.
We can have visual artists there, right? I think we could utilize those spaces because one of the big cries for our artisans mainly is that they don't have a space. I know there's a incubation space right now where they have like 5 spaces where persons are able to do it under the tourism development. I can't remember the name. But to be able to create more opportunities for that because a lot of our artisans, they do amazing work.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have access to the millions of visitors that come to the Bahamas right now. So the exposure, if I can't buy it if I don't see it, if I don't know it's there. And we can't expect that they're able to come up with rent.
Can we do more festivals?
Definitely.
There's no such thing as too many festivals.
No, we can't ever have too many festivals because festivals generate revenue. Festivals allow us to expose our various aspects of Bahamian culture. And like we say, the large number of visitors that come to this country, they can attend those festivals. The festivals don't always have to take place at night. We have millions of cruise ship visitors that come during the course of the day. Festivals can take place during the day.
Can there be multiple festivals happening, different festivals happening on Bay Street at the same time, you think? Smaller festivals? Because there's a lot of what I call juk-juk corners.
I don't know. I can't speak to that. But I would like for us to be able to do one and concentrate on that. There's an opportunity to do one every day. Mm. It doesn't have to be on a larger scale as the Gombe Festival was, mm-hmm. but we can have festivals on a very, very regular basis, and that allows us to attract those visitors that attend, that go to those, come off of those cruise ships to be able to participate. It allows our culinary artists to be able to generate revenue. Our artisans are able to generate revenue because they're now in a position to highlight and expose the products that they have. Our artists are able to perform on stage. Our bands get opportunities. We have so many talented Bahamians here who do not get the visibility or the airtime.
So that's what you need visibility, yes. In the airtime. I was going to ask you quickly, what is a festival? But you gave examples of what the festival. Mm-hmm. Make sure, right?
Food, drinks, entertainment, the issue of safety, comfort. Because you want to have your persons attend your festival for at least 4 hours. Mm-hmm. So there need to be something going on or things going on at your festival that will capture their attention for at least four hours.
So there needs to be activity.
All day.
Not just playing music.
No.
But if it's going to be playing, someone playing the music, live band.
Yeah, that's that concept. So this is where elements of roving artists come into play as well to help with some of the love.
What about themed concepts in terms of artisans dress up in? Is there a place for that for Bay Street, do you think? Like what dress up in pirate uniforms, dress up in straw.
Just to say you dress up in that.
And roving, you mentioned roving artisans.
To attract them to go where?
To your festival.
That could take place with the festival, but I thought you just meant like I just have this costume on and walk up and
pictures
down.
Opportunity.
Yeah, but there needs to be an end result. It shouldn't be just for this photo opportunity, because at the end of the day, that's just one person that's able to generate revenue. Mm-hmm. So you should create things where there's more than one person that's able to generate revenue.
So it needs to be tied into something bigger.
Exactly.
Tied into something bigger.
Exactly.
I enjoyed this conversation. Thank you very much for making time. It was a 2-hour show.
My pleasure.
Right? Just highlighting what you have done and what you have accomplished.
That's just a little bit of what I did.
No, I want to say thank you.
Yeah.
I want to say thank you.
You're very welcome.
For putting your shoulder to the wheel and working.
As a Bahamian from Cat Island.
Stop talking and acting. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, I was talking to Queen Mother Angelique McKay, who is a pioneer in the orange economy in the Bahamas. She was being awarded. As being highlighted as, you're going to say the African name again, because you need to speak more African for me. What is
Queen Mother Asafa Chiriba of Pakasu and the Ahanta people of Western Ghana.
And you get all kind of clothes with that too? Like all dress kind up?
Of, yeah, of course. I have my kente and I wear traditional wear when there are functions. And you see, I have on my bracelet. This signifies me as a queen mother when I go out and about in Ghana. They will be able to see the number of bracelets on my hand and be able to single me out right away.
And they recognize you and say, this is a queen mother, Radia?
Yes, they do. They say queen mother or they say Ohima when they see me. And I understand because I have meetings with other queen mothers there so that I could learn the traditions and my role as a queen mother moving forward.
We got to go right now. We got to go to the news. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day. We'll be right back.